The return of our tech team. For a certain kind of nerd, I mean tech enthusiast, this is a big week. The International Consumer Electronics Show is underway in Las Vegas. That's the event where all kinds of new gadgets are unveiled. From bendable phones to wearable tech, a TV called The Wall, to hologram headphones, flying cars, walking cars, smart mirrors, a smart kettlebell. You get the idea. But as some people celebrate all the exciting new technology, others are worried. Tech stocks have led a downturn in the stock market, led by the behemoth Apple. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we will talk about all of these developments with our favorite tech experts. We'll also answer your questions about the gadgets and tablets and computers in your life. Main Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. New gadgets continue to appear on the market, some of which you may have gotten as gifts over the holidays. We're going to learn about the latest inventions and devices and get some advice on what to do with them. We will also get advice on what to do with those old standbys that are not behaving like you would like them to be. Joining me in our studio, Janet McKenney, Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library, Jared Maxfield, the owner of Necessary Technology, and Andrew Rosenstein, the owner of TechPort. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you trying to figure out how your new tech devices work, or are you wondering what's on the horizon if you wait long enough? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Janet McKenney, did you get any great gifts over the holidays or by yourself? Any great gifts?
Well, I got Katamari for my Switch. And so, you know, I'm trying to become less of an old lady and get very, very nimble at rolling this ball around for this game.
Okay, so that's I'm going to stop right now because you got Katamari for your Switch. I'm only parroting what you've said because I have no idea what that means. I'm not a gamer. Katamari is a game?
Yes, it's a game, and it's a redo of an old game from, I'll say, like 10 years ago that was on the Nintendo platform. And now they have it for the Switch. And so the Switch is the small handheld that you can make remote or you can attach it to your TV. So that's the great thing. And it's wonderful because it can be attached to your TV and you can pull it out and just continue your game while holding if somebody has to watch a television show. So I got that. And I also got a Mophie wireless charger. So it's just a little platter. And I'm in love because I have that right next to me. So when I put my phone down, it's automatically charging. And my new Prius Prime also has that Qi wireless charger that I can put my phone down on. So I'm like, my phone has not run out of battery yet since I got those two devices.
Well, you are right in there. I've been reading a bunch of top 10 tech columns, and a lot of people are naming this Mophie wireless charger as one of their favorite devices.
Yeah, I did a little research, and so it was actually a Christmas present to myself.
Can I ask you how much it costs?
Oh, I can't remember. Let's see.
Well, clearly it wasn't too bad if you can't remember.
$50.
Oh, okay. Good. That isn't that interesting. A wireless charger that's $50. You just plug it into a regular outlet and set it on there.
Best Buy is showing it at $31.99, so it depends on where you get it from.
Wow. Okay, Jared, what about you? Any presents?
Did you get a Prius for Christmas? Wow.
I got a Prius Prime Premium.
Wow.
Santa Some came, alliteration on Maine Calling.
Santa came through. I got some things. I got a, for my grill, I'm really getting
How old. Come I knew it was going to have to do with your house?
I'm getting so old. I'm so excited about these things. For my grill, I got a wireless thermometer that then I can read on my phone.
Oh, I want one of those.
Oh, I found something useful you're into. Nice. You know, it's super. This one's designed specifically. I have a Weber grill. This one is specifically for the Weber grill. But if you go on Amazon or any of the, there's all kinds of iOS or Android device wireless, essentially Bluetooth thermometers. And, you know, I like to cook and try not to screw it up. And if you don't want to screw it up, try and get the temperature right instead of hovering and opening and closing. Because remember, if you're looking, you're not cooking. It will tell you right on your phone what the temperature is of whatever you're making.
So you're right. And for those of us who like to grill in the winter in Maine, it means you go outside less often. And it also means, because every time, as you said, if you're grilling, you're not cooking. Every time you lift that lid, you're letting all that cold air into your grill.
So I was pretty excited about that.
How much is that?
You can get them for the one for the Weber, I think, was it's again specific to that grill that the manufacturer makes. I think that one's a little closer to $100. I got my brother-in-law one just randomly off of Amazon. It was about $50-$60. And it's, you know, every once in a while we should find some technology that's actually useful, not just another thing we plug in and talk to. So, and what else did I get? I got myself right after the last show. I don't know why, but I found two of these bundles left over from Black Friday up at Walmart in North Conway, and I drove up there in a snowstorm. It should have been about 2 hours. It was about 3.5, but I was so excited because I got a Nest, the thermostats, the E version. And the Nest thermostat E is if someone's looking, you know, for regular at home, they have the full Nest thermostats, which are about $250. The thermostat E is under 200, and for anyone with just a standard oil boiler, non-multifunction system, it's really all you need, and it's been a lot of fun. My wife doesn't like it because I've now taken the, like, who turned the heat up to the next level, because I can now know when the heat is up when I'm at work or in the car, and I can call and I can go, oh, the heat's too high in the house, put some socks on, so... I'm literally taking...
are turning into your father, aren't you?
I'm taking it seriously to the next level. But, you know, that's what technology is for. It's to have fun, be useful, and drive your family a little crazy.
Andrew, do you agree? Are you driving your family crazy with anything new you have?
I always do. And, in fact, for some years I've had a Nest thermostat. And when it gets cold in the house during the day, and if I'm not there, then I get the call, what are you doing to the heat? Did you turn the heat down? I usually, well, sometimes I'm guilty, but, you know, yeah, put
you
a sweater on.
You got to do it gradually.
That's right. But yes, they are. Nest makes some wonderful devices. I only wish that they integrated better with Apple devices. Nest and Apple had a falling out. They're not part of HomeKit, which makes them, and the disappointment of Apple's HomeKit is that there aren't that many really great devices that work with it. They're more and more as we go on, but the astonishing technology like Nest isn't there. One of the nice things that I got for Christmas was a bottle of Cold River vodka made in Freeport, which I have to say was pretty amazing.
This is supposed to be a show about technology.
I know. So I think that you know, sometimes you need something real.
How do you chill that?
And so having something chilled with vodka and enjoying watching my phone charge can be a pleasure. I don't have an iPhone 8, and I have an iPhone 7, so I'm still encumbered by a non-cordless wireless. I have to wire charge my phone, unlike Janet, who had a much better Christmas than many of them. sitting here, it sounds like, which is wonderful. I have had a lot of luck with the Moshi small pocket chargers, not made by a company called Moshi, M-O-S-H-I. They make some really great tiny little pocket chargers, and you can, when your battery starts to decline, you can plug those in. They also make some USB hubs, and that makes life a little simpler if you have a USB-C based computer and you still have old devices. So I've really enjoyed that. So.
All right. Well, I think you've got the quote for the show already. Sometimes you need something real. but Andrew, you brought up your frustration with Apple and Nest, and I want to sort of use that to transition to a little bit of a conversation about Apple. Many of us have been following what's going on in the stock market in the last few weeks, and it's been quite a ride. And a lot of the experts are saying that the precipitous plunge was led by Apple. What's going on with Apple?
I think that there's a point now where they're making things that last longer, particularly phones. And people are, now that we have to pay the full price out of pocket for the phone, nobody wants to spend $1,000 every 2 years. So we tend to be keeping our phones longer, and so they're selling less or fewer phones at this time. And also the price point, I have to admit, is kind of discouraging. That's a lot of money to lay out for a device. And yes, it is a computer in your pocket, but, you know, we've already got, if you have a MacBook at home and, you know, you have a pretty large electronics investment. So my feeling is that Apple rides these stock up and downs in a way that is different than other companies. They tend to the stock tends to dip at a time when they're in the labs working on innovation for the next year, because we didn't see a lot of huge changes in many of the products. But I think in this year, moving into 2020, we're going to see some pretty astonishing new things, a total redesign of the iPhone, as well as moving a lot of the features of the MacBook Air to the iPad Pro. So I think that we're entering another period of innovation with Apple, and that doesn't always correspond. That usually corresponds with a rocky stock ride. That's my feeling.
All right. Either of you have something to add about Apple thoughts as you've watched what's been going on?
Well, I hope Andrew's right, looking at, you know, I invested a lot in Apple stock, so that plunge hurt. I'm really looking forward to hoping the price comes down. The Apple Pen and the iPad Pro is something that I really want, and I'm holding back because, yes, I spent a lot of money pre-Christmas and at Christmas for technology, but that's something that the more I see of the Apple Pen, the more I want it.
And the Apple Pen is something you can write directly onto an iPad, and
exactly.
Then it translates it into type if you want it to.
Yep.
Neat. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking about technology, 1-800-399-3566. You can send us an email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. It doesn't have to be about something new or the future. You can ask a simple question about one of your devices or computers or phones, and our experts here will give it a gander. I do not want to, I feel that I was not fair to your quote, Jared, if you're looking, you're not cooking. It might be on par with sometimes you need something real. So I'm sorry
about
that.
You're looking, you're not cooking.
But so why don't I back up a little bit and ask you, Jared, what are you seeing in your shop right now? What are the problems people are having, and how ought the rest of us learn from that, and what could we be avoiding?
I mean, we always clearly have our standard drop, break, fix stuff, you know, accidental damage, machine got dropped, liquid spills. We just went through our kind of back to school period where we get an influx of kids have come back from college for their breaks, and they come back with a myriad of spills and things. Of course, they tell their parents it's always water. It's always water. No matter if it smells like mead, it's totally water. But those are things that lend themselves to other problems. And we've said it here a billion times, and I can't preach it enough. And we're trying to tell some of our customers and people for a New Year's resolution, back up your stuff. It's inexpensive. It's fairly easy, especially on a Mac these days, having a backup, because what compounds the issue for people when they have a liquid spill is not the fact that your machine is broken, because machines can be replaced, but your kids' photos can't be, your business records can't be. Those are the things that truly cause nightmares for people. The other thing we're seeing, you know, just more and more is the internet just becoming a trickier place, and people coming in with their machines essentially hijacked or browsers taken over, and they're being redirected or getting pop-ups, or they type into a page that looks just like Google, but lo and behold, when you look at the details, it's not. And to be frank, a lot of those things we do to ourselves. We don't pay attention to what we click on, what we opt into when we're downloading software A, what B, C, and D are being piggybacked onto it. And they don't make it easy, but it's just like anything else. in the world. If someone shows up at your door, you know, you're going to be a lot more suspicious and on what you, how your interactions will be, what information you would give them. Would you let them in your house or not? And I look at that as we're letting people into our house. I mean, your whole life resides on these devices. So backing things up, you know, is always a big thing. And then on a fun one, you know, we're dealing with more and more folks on home automation, because like we'll sit here and have this show and we'll talk about Alexa this and light bulbs and switches and garage door openers. And I mean, at the Consumer Electronics Show now, they're coming out with you can get a crock pot with Alexa built into it. I don't know why you need it, but all of a sudden I want it. So you have all of these things coming out and trying to have people, you know, help them muddle through the mess of, you know, do I want a smart home? Where do I want to start? What are my precautions and things like that? So, you know, a lot of the standard stuff, but as time changes, so do the issues.
I'm sure many members of our audience are listening to Jared and feeling a little scared, thinking, gosh, I click on things all the time on the internet. I don't feel like I'm a digital native. And Janet, is this where you jump in and say, if you have any questions, you can go to your local library. You can ask your librarians about things that you might be thinking about downloading, about programs you are thinking about, maybe somebody's mentioned they use, because in Maine, librarians are being tutored and being taught by your program about all the latest.
Yeah, I mean, we try to do that. The librarians are always, you know, especially post-Christmas, you know, people are bringing in devices. They've never used them before. But I think there's this whole new, you know, there are two streams of interest that we see. And one is, how do I stay safe on the internet? So that's something that, you know, libraries concentrate on. And if they have, you know, programs like that, you can sign up. And you know, so that's a big one, staying safe on the internet. And my mind just blew away what the other, you know, peak interest is for librarian courses. I'm sure I'll remember it later on in the show.
Let's say somebody got some sort of smart tablet for Christmas and mm-hmm. is excited but feeling a little nervous about it. They can come into their local library and talk with somebody on the staff about how to use it.
Oh yeah, definitely. They definitely can do that. And a lot of the smaller libraries don't have, you know, programmatic things, but a lot of them have Tech Tuesdays or, you know, Gadget Wednesdays or whatever. And so that's actually either one-on-one time or kind of two-on-one time where somebody can go to their library and have the attention of somebody. And sometimes the librarian isn't also an expert, but takes the time to figure it out together. And so that's an important thing. I mean, when somebody's really has something that's screwed up, then it's like going to Andrew or Jared and being referred to there, because, you know, not every librarian can like fix your laptop or your phone or whatever.
Sure. Well, Jared, you mentioned the Consumer Electronics Show. I know that Andrew, you and Janet have been following it as well. We will talk about that after the break. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Green Hut Galleries in Portland. For 40 years, exhibiting contemporary art and sculpture by Maine artists. GreenHutGalleries.com.
President Trump doesn't want to compromise.
If I did something that was foolish, like gave up on border security...
First, he says Senate Republicans would come for him. Second, the House.
And the third ones would be, frankly, my base and a lot of Republicans out there and a lot of Democrats that want to see border security.
The political price of building a wall. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
You can listen to All Things Considered this afternoon at 4 here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public is a media sponsor of upcoming The Camden Conference, taking place the weekend of February 22nd to the 24th. Is this China's century? Is this year's focus? The live venue is at the Camden Opera House, but note there are also other remote locations around the state available as well, including Luther Bonney Hall at USM in Portland. To register or for more information, please visit www.camdenconference.org.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, the latest in the world of technology. Joining me today, Andrew Rosenstein, the owner of TechPort, Jared Maxfield, owner of Necessary Technology, and Janet McKenney, director of library development for the Maine State Library. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Janet, before the break, you couldn't remember the second big thing, but now you have. What is the second big thing people come to librarians for?
Yeah, well, we're training librarians, and, you know, people want guidance on what's not fake news and what is fake news. And so we've, you know, invested some time in regional trainings on that, and our tech librarian has been doing some training on that. And it's people's comfort level in understanding who's sharing what, especially on social media, and is that a verifiable resource? And librarians know how to get, you know, good resources that actually are truthful.
We'll go to Debbie, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to let you guys know that a lot of the libraries now are offering free digital literacy programs through Digital Equity Center and AmeriCorp throughout Maine.
Great. Janet, you're nodding.
Yes, we've been working with Susan Corbett of Axiom Technologies, who's established that digital literacy center here in Maine and has got funding. And it's specifically in the rural areas. So they're just starting up right now, and it's a great program. So we're coordinating with her and her AmeriCorps volunteers for training in rural libraries.
Thanks for your call, Debbie. As promised before the break, a little bit of a conversation about the Consumer Electronics Show, which is going on right now in Las Vegas. If you really want to see some interesting things, spend some time poking around on the internet, looking at some of the gadgets being introduced there. It really does look like the Jetsons. Andrew, what are you the most excited about?
Well, there seem to be a few robotics innovations. And while they did have some humanoid sort of styled robotics creatures there, they didn't work that well. And we're still a long way off, which is a bit disappointing because we all expected to be living in the age of the Jetsons by now. But there have been some clever robotics innovations for pets, like there's a new litter robot for your cat. The cat can kind of crawl in a very, you know, cat-friendly space, do what they need to do, and it's all taken care of and cleaned, and the cat, you know, is air-dried and fluffed.
It's a lucky cat.
But also some of the, I did see a lot of little electronic devices that are meant to compete with AirPods. And so if you're looking for an alternative to AirPods, maybe the expense is scary at $149. For $50, JLab sells the Air True Bluetooth wireless enabled earbuds, and they come in a case just like AirPods. They're a bit bigger, but their convenience is that they're waterproof too, so you can really use them for sports applications.
Janet, have you been following what's going on at the Consumer Electronics Show?
Yes, via my good friend Peggy Cadigan, who's the deputy state librarian. She has the greatest title, Deputy State Librarian for Innovation and Outreach. And so she's out there kind of looking at what's in the future and what may be applied to libraries. But she was really impressed with the electric car that can move in for urban environments, that can move forward but can also move sideways. And she was also just talking about the amazing robotics, like the new arms, that the cables actually act like human tendons. And she said that advancement, you know, she was just really wowed.
So in
by
prosthetics.
What that was. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow. What about you, Jared? Are you following? I know you wish you were there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I'm not. I had to be here for the show. There's
Thank
a lot
you.
Of cool. Yeah, no problem. There's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, to go back to my, I'm clearly Alexa centric, little fact to throw out there. They recently put out that there's now over 100 million Alexa-enabled devices that have been sold so far. So we don't have to worry about Big Brother spying. We've put a microphone into everything we own, including now soon your car, any car, whether it's just an older car or a new car with Bluetooth. But There is an Echo, essentially car device coming out so that you can throw Alexa and those features into your car. There's also another device called the Echo Input, which is just a little device that you can plug into any old speaker or radio system. So you don't have to go out and necessarily pay top dollar anymore to buy an enabled device that comes with this stuff native or built into it. But you can actually just with a little adapter turn any of these devices into a smart Alexa-enabled device.
You mentioned Alexa. Two news stories that I paid attention to today on National Public Radio this morning. I don't know if you heard a story about kids asking smart speakers to do their homework for them.
There was a viral video a week or
oh,
two
really?
Ago. Yeah, there was a viral of I think it was like a 3 or 4-year-old, and it was only about 10 seconds because I'm sure the kid got in a lot of trouble as soon as they cut the camera, but the mom, if it's funny if anyone sees it online, but the mom sneaks up behind this little kid and the little kid asks Alexa, like, what's 5 plus 3 or whatever, which is, you know, wish I had that when I was a kid. So
you may not be where you are today, Jared.
No, and in fact, I can't think of what the name is. It's like the smarter folks out there listening. It's like Wolfram Alpha or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But they recently tied Alexa also into this essentially massive scientific mathematical database. So you can now essentially ask Alexa what's 12 to the 17th power divided by whatever. And when all the other smart devices will say, I don't know what you're talking about, Alexa will crunch your major scientific calculations for you now. So it's getting smarter. I don't know. There was also a story recently, a couple days ago, at the Consumer Electronics Show where a presenter was presenting an in-car demonstration of an Alexa device. And in the middle of without speaking to Alexa, Alexa just interrupted. And again, this is a great video if you watch it online. Alexa just goes, no, that's not correct. So, you know, there's an argument to be made that, you know, we are all working together very hard to program the AI of the future with all these different inputs and data points. So.
And the other story, a veterinary center in Cape Elizabeth shared with our Facebook page this morning a story about a parrot in the UK ordering things like watermelon on Alexa. And so
parrots
there we
are
go.
Smart.
Parrots are smart.
And just so everyone knows, whether it's your parrot or your child, you can set a pin. And if you have a really smart parrot, I guess the parrot can learn the pin, but you can set a pin or some sort so that you can not just have things randomly ordered. Most people don't do it. In fact, Amazon has said ordering things through Alexa is still not a very big thing. There's not, out of those 100 million devices, it's not a big thing that people are doing. But if you really want to have fun with someone in their house, go into someone's house that has a device and just throw a couple things on their shopping list.
Jared.
Well, that gets us back to security, too. These things that come to us out of the box, you've got to add a PIN, a password, routers that come new. You can't use admin as a password. Not 1234. We have to get, you know, these things will keep happening. Our devices will become smarter than we are at a certain point, but we can outsmart them with a 4-digit PIN code.
We have a tweet. About that smart crock pot, you could remotely turn it on and have a hot dinner when you return home without overcooking it. I have Wi-Fi smart plug in line with mine.
Crock pots are great. And the big thing this year, actually, I didn't get one. A friend had one. We went over for the holidays. I guess I'll give a plug out for the Instapot.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people know about this now, but yes. It seems like an amazing device. Mm-hmm. We had spinach and artichoke dip in 6 minutes. It was amazing. From frozen spinach to right on the table.
I tell you,
what
Jensen's.
Will they think of next?
Yeah, you almost went back in time on that
yeah.
one.
Is that not a modern appetizer anymore?
Karen, we're going to get to you, I promise. We're going to Karen and Holton. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm not a smart user. I'm a retired recreational user. And my question is that my laptop has died. And I was only using it because frequently I wanted to print something, such as a knitting pattern or a recipe. I use my iPad exclusively. Is there a way that I can, with my older printer, have any connectivity so I can just get these things that are very simplistic in your world of technology to print off, or do I have to go and buy myself another laptop?
So you want to be able to print off of your iPad?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that possible, or I just don't know?
I bet someone here knows the answer. Andrew, go ahead.
It is possible to print off of an iPad, but if you have an older printer, it may not cooperate that well.
Okay, it's about 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can use your printer may have to be connected to your internet. Either through an internet-enabled computer, for instance.
Okay.
If your computer is connected to the internet, then often you can see it through the iPad, and you can print using AirPrint, which is Apple's method of printing. Also, some printers, particularly HP printers, have separate applications that you can use. If the printer is an older printer, sometimes you may have to download an application and print from there. Janet would probably say you can probably go to a library and print as well on a newer printer using AirPrint.
Yeah, okay. And printer prices have come down, so it'd be much cheaper, you know, if your older printer and all the solutions were too hard to find the cheapest printer that will print to an iPad. Would be a much cheaper solution, you know, between probably $60 and $90 versus trying to buy a new laptop.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, good luck to you, Karen, and thanks for your question. If you have a question for our tech experts, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. An email from Sean. What laptop or device would you recommend for a starting college student? Sean doesn't say if this student is studying architecture or English, but
or engineering.
It probably depends, right?
It definitely depends. It's not free, but compared to what prices used to be, you know, I'll assume someone's looking for something economical, so I'm going to immediately take Macs out of the most of the bundles. We typically recommend, as newer machines, I like Asus or Lenovo. They make good, strong machines. These days in the $500 range, plus or minus $100, you can get a really good quality, strong machine, good processor, shoot for like an i5, which would be middle of the road, 8 gigs of RAM. Those are some basic specs to look for. For anyone doing general use, email, internet, word processing, you know, Netflix, that's going to be more than enough. As someone just mentioned, though, if you're an engineering student or if you're dealing with AutoCADs or Photoshops, heavier programs, then you might need something a little beefier. But literally in terms of a little beefier, these days you can go up about $200. You know, for $700-$800, you can get a very good, strong, professional-based Windows machine. Of course, if you want to get those same specs in a Mac, you can certainly do that, but you're going to be probably closer to the $1,300 to $1,800 range on a lot of those models.
Is there a laptop that's more rugged than others, Jared?
Yes and no. I mean, the problem that I see these days is that almost all the laptops are going thin. And going thin is cutting, I don't say cutting corners, but you're losing things. So right off the bat, a lot of folks will notice these days you don't get a CD, DVD drive anymore. And a lot of times that's just because literally they don't have the space anymore. So there are some tougher, I mean, you can literally buy, there's things out there like lines along the lines of called essentially tough books that are built specifically, you know, construction industry, people travel a lot. A lot of the newer machines, though, run faster. They're not super expensive, but they are built flimsier and not on purpose. It's just that as the machines go thinner, a lot of these new machines, if someone breaks their screen, most on the day back in the time, we could just replace the screen, the actual LCD, like the TV screen itself. Some of these are so new and thin and put together that you actually have to replace the entire assembly, which can create some cost. And the last thing I'll throw in that point is I tell people all the time, if you're buying a laptop, unless you really want a touchscreen, don't buy a touchscreen. For me personally, using a touchscreen on a laptop is just not natural like it is on a phone or a tablet. You have your fingers down on the keyboard, and then instead of using a mouse, you're going to reach up and touch the screen. Unless you really want that, don't buy it, because I'd put that money towards a better processor or more RAM, because folks come in all the time and they've broken their glass and they're like, I don't care about the touchscreen. But unfortunately, it makes it a much more difficult and therefore more expensive repair just because of that type of component.
Sure. And I know from having younger people in my family that a lot of the backpacks now have a really nice place for the laptop that's padded in. And so that may be an option as
well.
Yeah,
any padding you can get or a little case for it, just make sure, as always, before you put it into a case or a backpack, do shut it off. I like a full shutdown, not even just sleep or hibernate, because if it does not shut down, you know, it can easily overheat and, you know, create a much bigger problem than you're going to want to deal with.
We're going to take a quick break, but first a word about tomorrow's program. We're going to be talking about the burgeoning beer industry in Maine. Email us your comments or questions if you'd like ahead of time to talk@mainepublic.org. If you'd like to join the conversation today, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does People's United Bank, N.A., focusing on clients and their interests for nearly 175 years. Peoples.com.
On the next Speaking in Maine, the significance of the Magnitsky Act.
To these individuals who have so thoroughly trashed the rule of law in their own countries and yet crave it in our country and in Europe, it says no. You're going to have to face the music at home.
Kyle Parker is chief of staff of the U.S. Helsinki Commission. He spoke at the Midcoast Forum in Northport about human rights accountability around the world. Join us for Speaking in Maine, Thursday afternoon at 2 on Maine Public Radio.
With the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, coming to Maine Public Television on February 9th, Maine Public is looking for a few stories about heroes in your neighborhood. Do you have a story about one such individual that you would like to share? We'll post them up on our website and our Facebook page and mention a few of the submissions on a special Maine Calling on February 8th dedicated to exploring the power of goodness. Send us your story to myneighbor@mainepublic.org. For more information, visit mainepublic.org and click on Events.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, answers to your tech questions. Joining us today, Jared Maxfield with Necessary Technology, Janet McKenney with the Maine State Library, and Andrew Rosenstein with TechPort. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Charles on Facebook writes, please talk about Wi-Fi routers that keep you private, like a VPN. Is there one you don't need a monthly subscription? And of the ones with a monthly subscription, what do you recommend?
Well, I think that Wi-Fi routers are kind of the new frontier, especially with a product like Google Home, which we were just talking about a bit, Google Wi-Fi, which we were just talking about off the air. But it's a mesh system, and it's designed to add nodes throughout your house. So you start with you can buy a package with three, and that's sufficient for most average homes. And that does have a very easy setup. It has some built-in security, so you can manage your security settings better. So your Wi-Fi router is not hacked by as was 500,000 people. Apparently had their Wi-Fi routers hacked by Russian hackers recently. So those kinds of things are going to continue to happen when we don't have proper passwords, when we have old technology. Most of the VPNs work best as a standalone product, as software. They do have Wi-Fi routers with VPNs incorporated into them, and they do tend to be quite expensive. And I think whenever you're locking yourself into a hardware solution, you're locking yourself into technology that can't be updated very easily. So, I tend to go with most of the leading VPN companies are very secure. And, you know, if you pay a little bit, a yearly fee often is discounted, but it's worthwhile to pay a little bit so you get some control and some updates and some security.
And VPN is virtual private network?
Right. A virtual private network is a tunnel between your computer and the website that you want to visit. And it allows you to shield your information from anyone who wants to grab at it, including your internet service provider, or ISP. Many internet service providers, all of them, in fact, keep logs where they know where you go and what you do, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but why give up so much data privacy when we don't have to? And especially if you're traveling, a VPN can allow you to connect to news sources at home, and if a government has blocked access to CNN, for instance, or something like that, you can, if you have a VPN enabled on your computer, you can travel with it and have some privacy and security away from home.
An email from Constantino. My son got an Apple Mini 4 for Christmas and wants a Bluetooth keyboard for it. What would your panel suggest? Off the top of your head?
Any Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, Apple makes a nice one.
Yeah, Apple makes but Bluetooth is Bluetooth. So a lot of times keyboards come down, just like when people buy monitors, it comes down to really kind of personal preference and ergonomics. There's, you know, Janet and Andrew and I might all type the same thing but hate the same keyboard. So that is oftentimes something, you know, they come in different sizes, different tactile functions of how much do we feel the keys or don't. So start with the Apple one, look on Amazon, and, of course, you know, read reviews or something like that. But that is I don't say they're all the same, but in terms of technology and connection, they're the same, but.
Get the one that looks the coolest.
Right? Well, it's just if you're gonna type a lot, so it's just literally something you're gonna use a lot, and you want to literally physically be comfortable with.
We'll go to Judy calling from Winterport. Hi, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm cutting the cord on cable TV. Welcome. Yeah.
Take that, Spectrum. Sorry.
What?
Go ahead, Judy.
I have a Chromebook. I have an old television, which has one HDMI port. I have a smart TV, which has two HDMI ports. Am I looking at Roku or Chromecast, or is there another approach?
Depends on what service you want to use. You know what's interesting is Spectrum, a.k.a. Time Warner, what I'm deducing is they don't want to sell us a box anymore. They are actually, if you go in there now, if everyone sees when they switched their digital boxes at the end of last year, they are almost disincentivizing people to take their boxes. When I was in there last year turning in my boxes, the Spectrum folks were selling people a Roku. Apple just announced, I think it was maybe even yesterday or a couple days ago, but now Spectrum's also going to be selling Apple TV devices, the little box that you plug in. Because even Spectrum now is offering a package to just do internet or TV over the internet at much reduced prices. Personally, I use DirecTV Now. There's also a YouTube option. I think PlayStation has a thing. So if you have an HDMI port, you're good to go. With whatever you'd like to hook up, Amazon Fire Stick, Chromecasts, Apple TV, all of those devices support most of the third-party kind of cord-cutting services you may want to use. Your smart TV probably has the potential to either download an app for one of those services or may even already have it built in. But it's kind of a fun time for us because a lot of us have now gone from spending over $200 a month with essentially a monopoly to having the ability to spend less than half of that easily and still get the exact same service.
Judy, good luck, and thanks for your call. Funny email from Rebecca. She writes, and I'm going to do it, please stop saying Alexa. I'm listening on the Echo, and she keeps stopping your broadcast to answer questions. Laugh out loud. That's great. If you want to record.
Oh, they made something. She's not supposed to do that as much anymore. But,
oh,
you know.
My goodness. So
it
we'll go
like
to
Hey Siri. Yeah.
Chris. Chris is calling from Old Orchard Beach. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't really have a problem except that I keep getting these phone calls saying that my iCloud has been hacked. And they say that they're from Apple. And I don't believe that it's true.
Chris?
So I just wanted to
Yes, I think you're smart. As soon as you said that, all three heads in this room shook. No.
Apple is not going to call you.
They will not call.
Apple's not calling. Microsoft isn't calling. It's one of the biggest scams that we see out there to date. It doesn't stop because people are falling for it every single day. But basically, scammers from overseas or who knows where they are just calling up. They will tell you they're any ABC major corporation they can think of and that they're there to help. They would then like to remote into your device, do a little dog and pony show you, quote unquote, all these things wrong with it. And then lucky for you, for $199 or $299 or whatever ridiculous price they have, they're there to help you immediately. So it's like the old mob routine where they ask for protection. You say from what? Then they throw a brick through your window. So they're causing problems and trying to scam you. When you get those phone calls, immediately hang up. And if you think there really is a problem, then look up whatever that company is directly and call them directly. But there's no one at Apple that's going to do that for you.
Also, you have to enable two-step verification with iCloud as well. And that really does secure your account because nobody can get in without your allowing that on your phone.
Chris, you're smart.
You're smart.
Thanks for calling.
And hang up on him. Yeah.
Or just take the phone off the hook and walk away.
Yeah.
Email from Ted. Every once in a while, I get a notification when I turn on the laptop. When I turn the laptop on, the quote webcam access blocked. Quote device senses or quote Google Chrome tried to access your webcam. Webcam access denied. What is this? What do I do about it?
It happens at startup. We'd have to see it, but in general, a lot of times, a lot of security settings will be set that if something requests access to something on your machine, for example, a browser wants access to the webcam, you often have to say yes to those things. You could have your security settings set to automatically do it, but a lot of default settings or smarter settings will require you to give access to somebody. But I have finally succumbed in the last year to the piece of tape over the webcam.
I was going to ask. We have a sticky note.
Yeah. Once I read that Mark Zuckerberg, who's the Facebook guy, he puts a piece of tape over, I was like, maybe there's something. Because I was like, who's watching? But you never know. So it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, the camera can be enabled without enabling the light in certain circumstances.
So if
you don't know that
if,
it's on.
Yeah, and if you don't know or if it's asking for permission, then don't give it permission. Mm-hmm. If you launch something that theoretically it would make sense it would be accessing the camera and you want it to, then allow it to. But if you don't know, then don't do it. And it's
and
as
just
simple
take
as that.
It off if you want to Skype or something.
Yeah. If you're trying to Skype, then you probably know I want to access the camera. If you're just doing something random.
You might forget you put it there, though.
Yeah.
Ted, thanks for your email. We're going to go to Gina calling from Waterville. Hi, Gina. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I have a question about software. What you might recommend for increasing financial literacy, particularly for and teaching kids how to track their savings and spending, and I could learn along with him.
That's a great question. Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but what I'll do is after the show, I'll research a little bit and I'll post it to the Facebook page because I'm sure there's some out there. There's a couple of organizations that are very devoted to financial literacy, and they have really good resources. And one of them's, a federal government one. But I'll take that on and answer that, a little bit later.
They do make an Alexa-enabled piggy bank for kids, so that can help. And I personally use a service called Mint.
Okay.
Did you meet me in a Mint? But yeah.
I was passing notes.
I use Mint. And Mint is basically just a budgeting and financial software that allows you to, again, if you're comfortable with it, share access to your financial accounts. And it's kind of a one-stop shop to give you a overall look at everything and help your budgeting. And also see, and this is where it gets ugly, when you start to see broken down into categories how you spent your money. Food and drink tend to be a larger category than we want to admit.
You can see those lattes add up.
Gina, thank you so much for your call and good luck. And Janet is going to post that on Facebook a little bit later. We're going to try to get through as many calls as we can in the rest of the time we have. Marianne and Wayne, go ahead.
Hi. I just recently bought an LG laptop online through Amazon. It came with a, quote, package. I think it was Microsoft 365. and I signed up for it. And then later, before I downloaded it, realized that it was a subscription. So
yes.
I was able to stop that. But in when I was chatting back and forth with those folks, I tried to get an answer as to what am I subscribing to? What do I get for my yearly renewal? And then after I'd signed off on that, I really would like just the Microsoft Word and Excel. So I think that they offer a student and home version for like $150.
Yeah.
So I'd just like some input on that.
Long story short, Office, like most software, they just want you to pay for it monthly or yearly. You're basically leasing it. The LART, that comes with everything. You know, 365 comes with some cloud storage. It also comes with Outlook and PowerPoint and Word and everything. If you don't care about Outlook for email and you're not going to use that program, I usually recommend to my clients buy Home and Student. $149, it'll be a one-time purchase. You'll own the subscription, or you'll own it. It's not a subscription, so that way you're not paying long-term fees. For people that do want Outlook, a lot of times I will recommend pay for the subscription, because to buy the major version of Office is $249. Your subscription is going to run you $69 a year if you're just doing one machine. So it's going to take you 3.5 years before you quote-unquote are losing money on that subscription. But in 3.5 years, you'll also have access to the newest versions that come out, and you'll also have full support. So in your case, if you don't care about Outlook, go to the store and buy a one-time Home and Student edition, and you'll be locked in for one price.
Mary Ann, thanks for your call. An email from Michael. My Acer Aspire M laptop is making a noise I believe is a fan. It happens especially at startup, but is intermittently better or worse. It also may be running a bit hotter. I opened it up and blew a ton of dust out of the fan, and sometimes I spray WD-40 into the vent holes, but no dramatic improvement. Can I repair or lubricate the fan rather than replace it?
Oh, no.
You can try. I wouldn't recommend spraying WD-40. It is a liquid. Fans, if you have fan issues anytime, outside of a bucket of water, heat's your number one enemy for your machine. And what you feel on the outside is a small amount of the heat that's actually going on the inside. So you can certainly try that, getting dust out of there. But if a fan is broken, they're little, they're plastic, they're flimsy. If it's actually broken or there's an impediment in there, it's...
You need to replace it.
I would have it replaced. But, you know, WD-40 and duct tape, we're in Maine. That goes a long way. So you never know.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but Kathy wants to know if you have a recommendation for the best or most affordable activity tracker that can sync to your phone. You guys have opinions? And you have about 5 seconds.
Well, I mean, Fitbit is one. Apple Watch. If you can find a great deal on an Apple Watch at Target, Walmart, the first edition, second edition.
Okay, great. That's it. We're out of time. Sorry to everybody we left hanging. And thank you to our guests. As always, you just heard Andrew Rosenstein, owner of Techport, Jared Maxfield of Necessary Technology, and Janet McKenney with the Maine State Library. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public.